Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. As we continue our discussion on the sexual self-destruction of our society, we're going to talk about the problem of pedophilia. Why not adults with children? Would you believe that the University of Chicago now has an exhibit in their library called the Leather Library, which promotes sadomasochism, dangerous pornography, and also advocates pedophilia, where in one of their books, a mother has sex play with her 13-year-old daughter. Another homosexual activist group is NAMBLA, a man-boy association. For a long time, they have been advocating proper sex between men and minors, which we've always called pedophilia and has always been a crime. But recently, a conference was held in Baltimore, Maryland, that proposed that the Manual of Mental Disorders no longer have a prohibition against pedophilia, which would eventually lead to the acceptance of adults having sex with minors and move the moral boundary lines even further back from the Bible. They reject any identification of minor-attracted persons being people who have problems or create them. This could mean that predators could repeat their crimes again and again without persecution if it goes too far. Today, our guest is Matt Barber from the Liberty Council, and he had the opportunity, I wouldn't say privilege or joy, of attending that conference, and we want to find out what went on in that conference. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Jones.
It is amazing, and yet again it's not, with the moral landslide we're seeing in our nation, that there should actually be a conference that wants to support pedophilia. Now, we know that that's always been a crime. We know it's been always a moral disorder, if you will. We know that the Muslim community practices it to some degree with their marriage of young children to older men. But to have America actually consider this, tell us what it was like to be at that conference.
Well, it was, as one might imagine, it was just horrific to witness. You could feel the spiritual oppression in the room. But let me say, you know, this really shouldn't be surprising. This is the natural outgrowth of decades of post-Kinsey sexual anarchy, and there's no other way to describe it. Alfred Kinsey, of course, was the world-renowned, quote, sexologist that the left and liberal circles and the mainstream of academia, unfortunately the courts, the entertainment industries and media and so forth, looked to Alfred Kinsey as really being the revolutionary in terms of his stated goal, and that was to destroy the Judeo-Christian sexual ethic in our society. So we live in a post-Kinsey era, subsequent to his books, The Sexuality in the Human Male, 1948, Sexuality in the Human Female, 1953, wherein Alfred Kinsey facilitated the sexual abuse of thousands of children, placing in the hands of pedophiles stopwatches and ledgers to record their crimes. Now, Alfred Kinsey's conclusion was that sex between adults and children can actually be a positive and good thing. So we have seen how incrementally, since Alfred Kinsey's so-called findings, we have reached the point in this society now where all sexuality is considered relative, all morality is relative. It's a values-neutral view of sexual behavior, and it has wreaked utter chaos in our culture.
Would it be safe to say, Matt, that in actuality, he has been debunked, and that is some of his premises and some of his argumentation were falsely put together with bad assumptions and are not really standing the test of true science? Would that be a safe statement to make?
I think that's an understatement. He's a complete and utter fraud. Dr. Judith Riesman is the foremost Alfred Kinsey critic. She has researched him for decades and exposed him as an utter fraud with an agenda, that agenda being stated by Kinsey himself, again, to destroy the Judeo-Christian sexual ethic. Because after all, if we're just a bunch of advanced monkeys, you know, why, then anything goes. If it feels good, do it. So at this conference, you know, they couched everything in these clinical terms, and they had Dr. Fred Berlin of Johns Hopkins University there to give the keynote address. Credible, you know, highly credentialed therapists and MDs and psychiatrists, along with a group of self-identified MAPs, minor attracted persons, saying things such as, you know, pedophiles are, quote, unfairly stigmatized and demonized by society, and ultimately saying that, quote, children are not inherently unable to consent to sex with an adult. This is that sexually relative view, and ultimately basically the sexual anarchy movement. That's the homosexual activist movement, the pedophile movement, the pro-abortion movement, the radical feminist movement. All of them have children in the crosshairs. They know that to own the future, they must own the minds of our children. So this is pure Keynesian indoctrination.
Well, at a certain point, we're going to try to address the question of how do we protect the innocence of our children in such an onslaught of these sexual standards that they want to perform with rather than what we accept as biblical. Well, really, in your opinion, known by the Christian community per se, how deadly and how serious the homosexual movement is moving toward us to a place of degeneracy?
You know, and unfortunately not. Even within Christian circles, even within the church, this meme that says, hey, they're born that way, this is who these individuals are, the homosexual, the pedophile, the beastophile, the, you know, anybody who engages in aberrant sexual behavior that is demonstrably the anathema to God's design for human sexuality, well, that's just who they are. Even the church has bought into this propaganda in many circles, which is so very unfortunate. I'm trying to get the truth out. You know, God's truth is God's truth, and all of this sexual anarchy falls under this umbrella, whether it's the pedophile movement, the abortion movement, the homosexual movement. They all have the goal of attacking and destroying God's design for human sexuality.
Well, we know, of course, that they won't accept the scripture, and when I do apologetics with people, or I try to be apologetically involved with people, sometimes I have to move from the premise I have that the Bible is the word of God, although I do everything I can to try to make that clear, to what you would call pragmatism. In other words, practically speaking, this really doesn't work that well, does it? But it seems to me that even if you use scientific, quote-unquote, study or pragmatic study, I mean, for example, years ago they said that when children were going through divorces because they passed the no-fault divorce law, oh, they wouldn't be affected. Well, one woman chronicled 30 years of the children of divorce, and they weren't that resilient. Every one of them had emotional, relational problems. It would seem to me it's even more drastic in these cases. Could you comment on that?
Absolutely. Listen, we don't even have to go to, you know, conservative or Christian circles to find out. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, no bastion of conservatism, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, the International Journal of Epidemiology has done a study. This is a pro-homosexual organization that has determined that the lifespan of people engaging in homosexual conduct is knocked down by 8 to 20 years. That's more than twice the damage caused to individuals via smoking. We know, for instance, that men who engage in same-sex behavior have an HIV instance and risk astronomically high, 60 times higher than, for instance, a first-time blood donor, 800 times higher than a second-time blood donor. This is why the Food and Drug Administration will not allow homosexual men to even give blood, because the extremely high risks of contaminating the blood supply. So, you know, I always often say that unnatural behaviors have natural consequences. I think the Lord, you know, and in Scripture says it even better than that. The wages of sin is death.
Well, Matt, I guess one question I have before we close is the fact that we as a Christian believe these things. Give us about a 20-second synopsis of where you think the church is in our ability to respond to these things properly and positively.
Well, it lies in the hands of pastors. Pastors need to get involved, not be afraid to offend someone in their congregation, speak boldly, truth in love, always in love, because love, so-called, without truth is nothing but hate.
Well, we often sometimes talk about sloppy agape, and I guess if I think about Jesus, and I've made this comment before in the broadcast, that Jesus came full of grace and truth. And for the homosexual community, there is redemption, but there's also retribution if they continue to do the sins that we believe are wrong. Thank you so much for being with us, Matt. If people want to get in touch with you, what do they do?
They can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. We love to hear from people, and people can see how they can get involved in Liberty Counsel's ministry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Join us next week at the Frontier, where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.
Mars Hill Energy Productions.